Now, I'm especially happy to be here this morning for many, many reasons, and I want to tell you right up front. One of them is this is sort of an opportunity that rarely comes to a person like myself. When you're singing the song, "I'm Alive Because of Jesus," I can tell you in no uncertain terms, believe me, that's true. With my life, the places I went, the risks I was asked to take, I told many people I didn't think I'd live to be 50. Well, I'm here, and I discovered part of the reason why. A couple of years ago, in Psalm 71, it's verse 17-18, says, "Since my youth, O God, you have taught me, and to this day I declare your marvelous deeds. Even when I'm old and gray, do not forsake me, O God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your might to all to come." And especially those words ring true, and I'm so happy because I have sitting here in front of me, willing to listen to this old man, a younger generation. And I think as I want to share with you some story, I hope that you will get something from it you can take. Please pray with me. Almighty God, as we begin your study of your word today, we pray that you will open our hearts, our minds, and our souls to hear what the Holy Spirit hears from you, so that he can help us to become transformed by your word, and we might be prepared to receive and pass along the fruit of the Spirit to the world as we have been commissioned by your Son, our Savior, Jesus. For it's in his name that we ask. Amen. Now, when we think about harvesting virtues, I'm reminded of some Jesus words. And when he was talking about another kind of harvest, in Matthew 9, 36, 37, Jesus told him, he says, "When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field.'" As we talk about the harvest and virtues, for the last 2 weeks, Dan and Justin have been discussing the fruit of the Spirit and what it does for us and the implications for how we may help to correct the image of the church in America by pursuing a virtuous lifestyle. Now, I'm going to share some personal stories about the process that I have learned of defining our relationship with the counselor that works for me as I try to build my lifestyle that helps me keep in step day by day, moment by moment, as I mature in my journey through this present life. From the practical perspectives of my personal experience, I believe very strongly that our conscious choice of behavior, moment by moment, reflects the depth of our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Our faithfulness is strengthened when we experience receiving the fruit of the Spirit because we've invited and allow him to work in us as we make our journey. Now, I'm going to discuss preparing, recognizing, choosing, behaving, self-evaluation, and even leading with you today, so that every step we take is deliberate and may bring glory to Jesus who sends the Spirit to live in us. Now, on our first slide, we talk about preparing the way for the Spirit. In Galatians 5:24, Paul wrote, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful spirit nature with its passions and desires. Now, this passage reminds me of Jesus' invitation found in Luke 9:23, in which he told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Daily. To me, this means that we're simply to say no to the ways of the world that tempt us moment by moment by blocking sinful behavior at its source in our mind. In this way, we can crucify our sinful nature with its passion desire that distracts our attention to the Holy Spirit. Now, in verse 25, Paul writes, "Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." Now, keeping in step. As we consider keeping in step, let's take a moment to make sure we have a clear understanding of the true Spirit. And do not become confused with the evil spirit that also seeks our attention. I'm sure you all are quite aware of the evil spirit. It's every moment, day by day, we're pounded with everything from him. Now, how do we recognize the true spirit? In 1 John chapter 4, verse 2, John tells us, "This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God." Now, it's important that we pass this test ourselves. Honestly, acknowledging that Jesus Christ did come in the flesh from God to personally restore a relationship with God, a supernatural relationship that will last for eternity. Ask yourself, who of this world, past, present, or portended of the future, can ever offer to do this? No one but Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit of God is God of God himself, and is grieved by our sinful behavior. He cannot fulfill his promise unless we're willing to stop, acknowledge our needs, listen, and accept his help. Now, in this next slide, we talk about behavior choices, self-desire versus spirit-led. In Romans chapter 8, 5 and 6, Paul says, "Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful men is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace forever." That's my word. Now, we must be aware that contrary to contemporary American culture, whatever that means to you, it's kind of losing its bite, isn't it? We are surrounded by people who do not acknowledge that Jesus Christ came. In fact, the common perception of the American Declaration under God in our country seems to be an outdated notion to many complacent Americans, and is being deliberately attacked by a very vocal, openly hostile segment of modern humanists whose goal is to remove all references to God from our society at any cost, especially from the foundations of government. You saw a little wink of that during the Democratic National Convention platform session, didn't you? Fortunately, they lost. Now, we talk about these kind of things. When you talk about removing God, we have examples that are very recent and even current. Soviet Russia, during the Cold War days, we call it. The communists, the Chinese communists, went out of their way to destroy every vestige they could of a recognition of God in the lives of human beings under their control. And now, as America attacks or allows attacks upon itself, we begin to see that people, our enemies around the world, are emboldened to destroy Christians with impunity. Now, I have another slide here called Know Yourself, Know Your Enemy. It's a phrase that I borrowed from the art of war that the Chinese teach themselves. It happens to be a very, very insightful statement because Jesus warned us about such people when he warned in Matthew 10:16, I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Peter echoed this warning in these words, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, knowing because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. Now here, I'm not just talking about the people we kind of think about when we think about Christians being persecuted like Solonique, J. Henry, or other missionaries. I want you to think for a moment of the people that are being devoured right here, your friends and family who are being fired from good jobs at the peak of their careers and productivity for various reasons, unethical managers. Children who are being offered drugs in our schools, inside our schools. Home loans to people who can't afford to pay, and they know it, but it's almost forced upon us. Credit cards to unemployed students that run up debt in the name of getting an education that will harness them the bonds of sin of debt for a long time. To me, these are examples of people being devoured that we have to guard against. Now, what are our choices? The next slide, we talk about behavior choices. The counselor. In John 14, verses 15 to 17, Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you will know him, for he will live within you and will be in you. Now let's look at the patterns of behavior around us for evidence of John's insight. The world, our world, not seeing or listening to the Spirit of Truth, reacts in worldly ways with behavior that reflects personal, self-motivated will that can result in sin with its consequences. I believe that people who exhibit bad behavior have what I call the hurting hand because it reveals the frustration of self-centered people who feel imposed upon by the world around them while they fail in their attempts to assert their own will in situations affecting them. This leads to the pitfall of polarization and conflict that draws others into the downward spiral of that same sin. Now, Dan, a couple weeks ago, pointed out, this is a very common thing that people do like to talk about. This hurting hand, I call it. Pointing. But when it's pointing at blame at people, look at all these other fingers that are pointing back. It's a reflection a lot of times. And I have personal experience, unfortunately, in dealing with this kind of thing. When people tried to blame me for this and blame me for that. And I came to learn, with some help, that what they're really trying to do is to transfer their own guilt, their own problems, their own indecision, frustration, irresponsibility, fears, indifference, arrogance, in sense of entitlement, denial, self-indulgence, me first. All those things. Does that sound like a very helpful situation? No. That only leads to a different kind of harvest, doesn't it? In Psalm 97:10, we're told, "Let those who love the Lord hate evil, for he guards the lives of his faithful ones and delivers them from the hand of the wicked." Now, the commentary in the Life Application Study Bible I have here points out that if you do not despise the actions of people who take advantage of others, if you admire people who only look out for themselves, if you envy those who get ahead using any means to accomplish their ends, then chances are your primary desire is not to please God. Now, we are to learn to love God's ways and hate evil in every form, not only the obvious sins, but the socially acceptable ones. And I know every one of you, from the youngest to the oldest in here, knows all about what's considered to be socially acceptable. But it's still wrong. What kind of TV programs are we offered? What kind of TV programs do we watch? It gives you some pause to think about how we can be drawn in. Now, there are behavioral choices that need to be made by listening to the counselor. In John 16:13-15, Jesus told them, he says, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak to you on his own, yet he will speak only what he hears. He will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said that the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you." Isn't that fantastic? If we just listen, this is the kind of thing, all that he knows. Those who embrace the presence and the help of the Holy Spirit will exhibit behavior that I characterize as the helping hand or reaching out. So you have a choice to either reach out or react. Now, in reaching out, we talk about practical, I call it here a universal bridge to understanding, cooperation, collaboration with anyone. And this comes from personal experience. I have worked with some of the most difficult people across cultures that I didn't understand, and I found ways around that. Sometimes it seemed almost accidental. Other times it was something I thought about. But it's mainly by reaching out. I used to get a joke of it. I told people, keep smiling. It drives them crazy. The more they're trying to deceive me, the more I'm trying to help them, the less effective their punishment on me is. Now, when we reach out, I'm talking here about listening. Just simple listening. Caring. Feeling. Teaching. Sharing. Care and share. Trusting. And I have something more to say about trusting in a moment. Collaborating. That means working together willingly. Empathizing. Loving. Truly loving, with no reservations. Being able to forgive, I should have added there. So we reach out. One of the key elements of reaching out to others I talk about is developing trust. I want to share some practical perspectives again about inviting and earning trust that I provided to fellow team members during my professional years. This is maybe before I ever conceived I could have an opportunity to talk about trusting in God, But it works. The primary objective of these guidelines was to foster accountability. Accountability to ourselves. We cannot ask people to trust us unless we can trust ourselves. Can we? How? To invite and earn trust, we must believe in the Holy Spirit guide. By the way, in case you happen to have pencils or want to write anything down or take notes, the back of the bulletin has this particular piece on it here. I'd mention that. Believe in the Holy Spirit guidance and speak from conviction of your experience with the Holy Spirit. Avoid the self-centered thinking. Behave yourself. Act from dedication to your commission. Everyone that believes in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior is automatically given a commission. That is your commission. Act from dedication. Behold yourself. Objective self-review. That means we know we make mistakes. We're human. I make so many mistakes, I sometimes wonder how I can get up in the morning. But I have to acknowledge first that I made a mistake. That means an objective self-review. What did I do? What was I thinking? How's that working for me? It doesn't. So objective self-review. Share your successes, which is what I'm trying to do. Learn from the mistakes. Benefit others. Benefit. Teach. Show. Support them. Celebrate the other successes. One of the most important things you can do. And we do this when we're as parents, when a child does something that delights us, we give them hugs and clap our hands and smile and tell them, great. We give them stars on their papers and things. We celebrate their successes. We do all this all the way through our lives. We celebrate great discoveries that benefit mankind. And we encourage students who are studying to challenge themselves, to stretch their mind and come up with something new that will benefit mankind, solve these problems. Maintain self-respect and honor your values. And this, I mentioned Gary Cheney. We have a couple of growth groups that I work, or small groups I work with. The other night we were talking about this kind of thing. Gary said, you know, one of the things that I realized was so important to me and helped me through a lot of potential problems I was able to avoid. And my father told me, know who you are. He said, remember where you belong. Now, the importance of a deliberate choice to reach out rather than react is emphasized by a man named Francis Schaeffer in his book called True Spirituality. Some of you know that I love to teach about that. If the individual Christian and if the Church of Christ is not allowing the Lord to bring forth fruit of the Spirit into the world as demonstrated by our behavior in personal relationships, one-on-one, we cannot expect the world to believe what we're trying to talk to them about in the gospel. We have to live it. We have to allow Christ to live in us in our personal relationships. We who believe that we are invested with the Holy Spirit must therefore reach out boldly to fulfill the Great Commission. Now, reaching out with compelling conviction and motivation. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, Paul tells Timothy, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. The very definition of the word meek. Powerful like a lion, yet self-controlled, trained, full of love. Allowing that love of God to flow through. The power of love is deliberate. God reached out to us with the gift of Jesus Christ to redeem us and restore us to himself. He's simply asking that we pass it forward to everyone we touch. The more we reach out, the more we ourselves are transformed by the renewing of our mind by the Holy Spirit and the enduring love of God. Now, what kind of motivation does it require to keep in step like this with the Holy Spirit? What kind of motivation? We think of the term motivation, something that makes you do something. Now, to comprehend the degree of motivation I'm trying to explain, I'd ask that you consider a modern metaphor that I came up with that illustrates the most compelling worldly motivation known to most Americans and has become a defining element of our culture. We come under the influence of this motivator from early childhood, and it remains so strong that we persist until we're legally restrained in old age. For generations, it's produced a significant part of our national GDP, become a symbol for personal independence, and it competes with God for our time and our financial resources. Have you guessed? What kind of compelling motivation? It's money, but displayed as we define ourselves by wanting to operate a motor vehicle. Think about that. From the time you can crawl, or almost sometimes when you're watching things rotate above your head as a baby, there's something there with wheels on it. And we learn to push them around. We learn to make all the sounds that go with it. We get a little bigger. We get things to sit on and ride. One of those little strollers with the wheels, you could push yourself around. My kids would dock over furniture and everything else to see how fast and how hard they could move. And then we get bicycles, our tricycles and bicycles, and wagons and scooters. And nowadays it's mini bikes, bigger bikes, and bigger cars. And we invest a significant portion of our income to buy, fuel, maintain, insure, decorate, make sure it defines who we are. For many people, it establishes our position in society. I'm known by the car that I'm. Now, this, I think, is somewhat more true of the generation I came from, because nowadays we remember all this stuff and we encourage the younger generation by having car shows in which people like me trot out their 1957s and 1960s and 1970s and 1980s. We got strong. We call them muscle cars. So it went from just a really beautiful vehicle with big fins and all that kind of thing to muscle. But it defined every generation. Now, this morning, we've been considering how God wishes us to become motivated to keep in step with the Holy Spirit so we might share in the harvest of these virtues that come from God, the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These things against which there is no law. Yet, all God's creatures yearn for these virtues throughout our lives. Ask yourself, why do we yearn for something that's free? Maybe it's because we're not listening to what God has, or we don't take God up in his offer of the Holy Spirit. Now, Miami Town Church of Christ has been rising to challenges. These boards around the wall speak to your rise. They'll help demonstrate that we are here indeed a church in motion. That means you're doing something. You're moving. People are going to notice. I would like for all of us to consider the scope of the potential for the success and harvesting the virtues offered by the Holy Spirit if we could only reach out to God, to Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit with the same compelling level of energy that we generate to pursue our own desire to move independently. Can you imagine yourself tooling down the road at 85 miles an hour saying, "This is for you, Jesus"? Huh? That's it. Jesus wants to hear that. What's your compelling? Where's your energy? I think that's what he's listening for. You remember, Jesus is not the meek man that was teacher, the meek man that went to the cross. Read about Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. Read about Jesus today in the book of Revelation. That's the Jesus that's wanted to give us power. Now, as we move forward in step with the Spirit, one of the most exciting benefits is the call to leadership, which can present us with many totally unforeseen opportunities, scary opportunities at times, to witness our growth and participate in the harvest. Now, I've had another practical list here for you of things that I generated over my years that seem like they really apply. I call it harvesting virtues, okay? What to do when it's your turn for leadership. Now, when I teach about leadership, many times I like to remind people of a quote that I have from a man that most of you don't know about anymore. His name is Lee Iacocca. He was president of a major automobile corporation. He had a leadership style that was very colorful, to say the least. But he defined leadership as being very simple. Know when to lead, know when to follow, or know when to get out of the way. And I add something once in a while in there and say, know when to shut up. Now, leaders articulate vision, mission, strategies, how to do things that can stimulate creative thinking and inspire effort. Personal action, in other words, what you do. Personal action examples are critical to setting standards, which are open to challenge, invite opportunities for improvement. We need to raise the standard, don't we? Jesus raises the bar. When you join Jesus in his, he raises the bar. There are standards. Right? Too many times, as I mentioned, Americans become complacent about the standards. Accessibility, listening skills, individual attention to others are vital to gaining support and consensus and way to move forward. Now, Dan and Justin and I, we're being very honored to share our thoughts about the fruit of the Spirit that's available to each and every soul. We hope that we can all reach new levels of motivation to become a highly visible church in motion throughout this community by challenging one another to reach out rather than react. Now, your success will be determined by your choices, choices made in your mind. And now we come to another one of my favorite pieces of Scripture that was the centerpiece of the class I taught for a while here. In Romans 12:2, Paul wrote, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." You'll be able to understand and keep in step with the Spirit because your mind will be transformed by focusing on the Spirit. Now, I would like to encourage you, each of you, to pursue the renewal of your mind by participating in Bible study growth groups every Sunday morning here. No matter your age, and by joining a small group study and fellowship during the week. And let me assure you that based on my own experience, the more time you spend trying to better understand Jesus Christ and learning to listen, to keep in step with the Holy Spirit, the more likely it is you will also experience a transformation in your life. Transformation that will go way beyond your own expectations of yourself. I could stand here for hours and tell you about more stories about the process of transformation and what happens and what you can see happen as a result. I am just so thankful that indeed I am alive today to tell you these things. Now, the choices you make will bring the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against these things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with it. Please pray with me for a moment. Almighty God, we know that your love endures forever. We are so thankful that you chose to reach out to us by sending your Son to become our personal Savior by sacrificing himself on the cross for our sin. Not only did you raise him from the death of our sin, but as he promised, we have received the gift of the Holy Spirit to comfort, teach, encourage, and counsel us regarding the way we should live according to your will until we return to you. Through the distractions and chaos of our time in this world, we are thankful that we can look to Jesus and to the Spirit to sustain us. We pray that we may receive guidance for our thoughts, our words, and our actions, so that your world might see what we are trying to keep in step with your Spirit. Help us to accept and pass to others your everlasting love, so that your kingdom may truly become on earth as it is in heaven. All these things we ask in the name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Now I have a little special ending here for you. I was deliberating on whether to do this or not, but the more I decided I had to do it. And one of the reasons is, when you read in John, 1 John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. The Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us." This is Jesus. Now, Jesus told stories to explain himself. And he sends his Holy Spirit to keep on explaining himself. We benefit from listening and retelling. In 2002, just after I retired, I began a new chapter. Someone gave me a cup, says, "Retirement is not the beginning. I mean, the end is the beginning." And it truly was a new beginning, a platform in my life. And I like to play the guitar. I learned to play the guitar and entertain people in many parts of the world with it. It's a real blessing. And I don't consider myself a musician at all. But I was playing one day, and these thoughts started coming to me. And I want to share them with you. tell me stories, tell me stories of his love. Tell me stories before I go away. Tell my brother, tell my sisters, tell them stories of his love. Tell them stories before they go away. Tell little children, tell little children, tell them stories of his love. Tell them stories, tell them stories. Help them lead the way. Oh, let's all be safe today. Let's all be safe today. You can sing along if you want. Jesus told the story. Jesus led the way. And now he's waiting. Now he's waiting to hear your story too. Oh, tell the strangers, tell the strangers, tell them stories of his love. Tell them stories, tell them stories. There will be peace someday. Oh, come to come to Jesus, tell him stories of your love. Tell him stories, walk together, talk together, join his world above. Hey, let's all be safe today. Let's all be safe today. Jesus told the story. Jesus led the way. And now he's waiting. Now he's waiting to hear your story too. One more. Hey, let's all be safe today. Let's all be safe today. Is it? Jesus told the story. Jesus led the way. And now he's waiting. Now he's waiting to hear your story too. Thank you. I enjoyed sharing that with you. Little did I guess that I might ever do that, because that was just mainly for my own encouragement. At least I felt. I wrote that song in about 15 minutes because it just came up on me. And I hope it'll come up on you. As we conclude this message, Justin and I both invite anyone that's here that's been considering a life with Jesus. And the fruits that can be had free, a gift, by simply dumping your sin, asking Jesus to take it as he promised, and receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit to guide you from this point evermore, evermore, everlasting, into his presence. The elders of this church and I would like to invite you to come forward and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit by confessing Jesus and accepting him as your personal Lord and Savior. Then you will be prepared to reach out to others and share the glorious benefits of love, peace, joy, patience, kindness, gentleness, and self-control that can help to transform not only yourself, but to transform a world around you. If you're already a baptized believer and would like to join this church in motion, you may also come forward. And let me say, if you don't feel like it this moment, you're welcome to 24 hours a day. Because Jesus is on call. And he'll make you on call. Please pray with me. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity that I've had here to share my story and for the opportunity that you've given others to come and think about their story that they have to share. We ask that you would inspire each of us with the gift of the Holy Spirit to renew our minds and dedicate ourselves to reaching out to everyone we can to tell them the story that you have in mind for us. Go with us as we go from here, helping us to reach out to others. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.